A new report just issued by the Jesuit Refugee Service, or JRS, says Croatia's accession to the EU on July the 1st will severely test how the EU asylum system can cope with the expansion of its borders. The author of the report is Benedict Kolarić from JRS Europe, who visited reception centres for migrants in Croatian Macedonia and saw the abysmal state of some of those facilities. He spoke to myself, Susie Hodges.
Well, the main thrust of the report is a real focus on the Balkans as a transit region for forced migration to the European Union. So in the last few years, what we've seen is this increasing trend by which migrants, instead of opting to take other routes to the EU, say, for example, via Italy, decide to travel up the Balkans from Greece to Croatia in order to seek asylum in the European Union. And numbers have been increasing as conflicts right across the European periphery have produced greater numbers of asylum seekers. So we have ongoing conflicts in Afghanistan and Syria, frequent mass violence in Pakistan and Nigeria, and then political instability right across northern Africa. And all of these situations have contributed towards increasing the numbers of asylum seekers looking for succour and peace in the European Union.
You talked about the asylum system in Croatia, which is due to join the EU on 1st of July, being seriously strained. I mean, do you think it's under the threat of collapse if it gets a massive upsurge in asylum seekers after it joins the EU?
That is something that we are concerned with, definitely. The number of people applying for asylum in Croatia is increasing steadily. So, for example, in 2012, over 1,000 people applied for asylum in Croatia, and that's a 50% increase compared to 2011. So what we're concerned with is that Croatia's asylum system doesn't have the capacity to maintain the standards of care that the European Union requires. And also that it doesn't have the capacity to effect swift and fully compliant procedures compliant with the European Union guidelines and standards. So what we want to see then is a reinforcement and an enhancement of Croatia's asylum capacity, given that it's very likely, once Croatia joins the Union, that the numbers of those applying for asylum in the country will again increase.
You also express concern about the situation for asylum seekers in neighbouring Macedonia, who's also going to be impacted by this. Can you describe just how poor those conditions are?
Certainly. Let me just preface this by saying that it's important to consider the Balkans as an integrated whole. So a negative asylum situation in one country will certainly have an adverse impact on its neighbours, as there'll be a spillover effect. I travel to Macedonia. I've been inside the reception centres in Skopje. The conditions in the centres are dire. So you have migrants living in filthy material conditions, rubbish piled high in corridors, dog feces staining the walls. You have small children living alongside men, strangers, minors without guardians, living in very, very unhygienic, unclean conditions with very poor diets as well, and also poor security. So all of this then builds into a situation which is extremely difficult for a person to endure. And JRS is very concerned to find ways of improving this material situation for asylum seekers in Macedonia.
I know you also met asylum seekers from Croatia as well as Macedonia. What kind of traumatic situations have they typically fled from?
So typically they have histories of intense trauma and violence. Many of them, if not most of them, have experienced violence. Many are torture victims. I can give you one example. A young man called Celestine, whom I interviewed from Nigeria, had been tortured by his father when he was 19 because he had decided to convert from Islam to Christianity. His father was a member of the Islamist Boko Haram movement, and together with his brother, he therefore tortured Celestine. So people have experienced intense violence, and they're still processing that and trying to deal with that while also seeking asylum. So it places great psychological pressure on them, of course. The other thing to mention is that on the journey, they also experienced, many of them also experienced violence and exploitation on the journey. I met with people in the reception centre in Croatia, in Zagreb, who had been kidnapped and threatened and tortured while transiting through the Balkans. So we're talking here about extraordinarily vulnerable people and people who very much need psychological support and help because of these histories of trauma.
And did you find that there was one or two countries where they were mostly coming from?
In my experience, Nigeria and Afghanistan seem to be the two predominant national groups that I encountered in Macedonia and Croatia. But of course, it's important to remember that there's a great variety of conflict zones, like I said, across Europe's neighbouring regions. And so there's a real diversity of nationalities and ethnicities in the migrant flows passing through the Balkans to Europe.
And do you think Croatia is prepared to take the necessary steps that you are advising it should do to upgrade its asylum system? And if it didn't, what would be the consequences?
Well, it's important to remember that the issues I'm talking about here, they're all set within the broader context of economic stagnation. So when we're talking about asylum as a political priority, then we have to admit that it's quite low down on the ladder. But what's encouraging in Croatia is that there is a nascent civil society movement that's paying attention to this issue. So when I was there, I witnessed some local society meetings between the local population living nearby the reception centre, academics and government officials. And I find it very encouraging that there is a conversation taking place about Croatia's asylum obligations. If Croatia didn't succeed in meeting the standards that the EU expects of its member states, then I think it would be incumbent upon the European Commission, the EU bodies, to, on the one hand, support Croatia to do so, so give it technical and material support to improve the processes, its asylum processes, and on the other hand, to place political pressure on the Croatian government to go ahead and to devote more political attention and resources to this issue.